His business track record, including a brief flirtation with billionairehood, is checkered, as connections to past backers and bosses have gone up in flames. He has irritated a lot of people, says Harvard genetics professor George Church, a Venter fan. It's a pity. Thus, human longevity offers Venter a last chance to square his legacy, awe the scientists, and make billions in the process, all the while shaking the foundation of a topic that precisely 100% of Homo sapiens have a keen interest in: how and when each of us will die. Venter has displayed potential, both achieved and unrealized, almost since birth. Growing up in Millbrae, California, near what was emerging as Silicon Valley, he had such bad grades that by high school his worried mother sometimes checked his arms for track marks. The first glimmer of his future success was in swimming. He was initially mediocre, but when a coach sent him home for the summer with tips, his competitive streak kicked in. He spent 3 months training furiously and never again lost a race. Had things been different, I would have been competing for the Olympics, Venter says. But Lyndon Johnson changed that for me with the draft. Swimming unlocked his potential, but Vietnam made him who he is. At age 20, he served as a Navy hospital corpsman, triaging troops who came back from battle, including the Tet Offensive. Deciding who would live and who would die was so traumatic that he says he considered suicide and swam far out to sea intending to drown. He says he had a change of heart a mile out after a shark prodded him, but he'd go through Vietnam again. Knowing the outcome and what it did for my personal growth, I would force myself to do it again if I had the choice, Venter says. After he returned to the States, he went to community college, then the University of California, San Diego, where he initially wanted to be a doctor but discovered science. He eventually completed his PhD in physiology and pharmacology, became a professor at the State University of New York at Buffalo in 1976, and in 1984 joined the National Institutes of Health. At the NIH, the themes that would define his career locked into place: productivity, perceived greed, the conflicts between pure science and industry money. Using a new technology, he discovered thousands of human genes. The NIH made the unprecedented decision to patent them in his name, and colleagues blamed Venter, calling him greedy. Nobel laureate James Watson said he was horrified. Venter insists he was always against the patents, but that the NIH did it anyway. Frustrated, he started a nonprofit institute in 1992 with a unique model. He raised money from venture capitalists on the condition that he share his data with a for-profit company, Human Genome Sciences, before he published it. The relationship ended unhappily in 1997 because of arguments over data disclosure, with Venter walking away from $40 million in research funding. "I paid a lot of money to get rid of Human Genome Sciences," Venter says. But in 1995, Venter's institute made a real breakthrough. The first genome, or map of the genetic code of an organism, in this case, a type of bacterium. It was a suggestion from Ham Smith. They had met at a scientific conference in Spain in 1993 and gone out drinking, starting a two-decade-plus collaboration. Foreshadowing his later race with the Human Genome Project, Venter and Smith's bacterial genome map beat similar projects in academia by many months. That led a California unit of lab equipment maker Perkin Elmer, which made DNA sequencers, to approach Venter. If he could sequence a bacterial genome, why not use the company's newest machines to sequence a human genome? Venter couldn't say no, which led to Celera Genomics' founding in 1998. It not only succeeded in overtaking the $3 billion Human Genome Project, an international consortium funded largely by the U.S. government, but it also mapped the genomes of the fruit fly and the mouse, both important laboratory animals. In the process, Venter angered scientists globally, aghast that such research would be driven by profit rather than knowledge. At the time, James Watson reportedly became so enraged he compared Venter to Hitler, asking colleagues who they were going to be, Chamberlain or Churchill. But the pressure of private enterprise ultimately spurred results, both at Celera and the public group, which improved their methods and accelerated their research. As a result, the two groups joined.